I suppose those that are gathered here this day have noticed that the songs that have been sung thus far today and the hymn that has been selected for the invitation are all about the Word of God. The subject today is feeding on the Word of God. And we do appreciate the effort that is put forth to make sure that the songs go along with the sermon. Oftentimes in writing the articles in the bulletin, I also try to write the article relative to at least one of the sermons or both that are being preached on that day. And Linda spends a great deal of time selecting the songs, and of course we try to make sure that we both know them so that as we worship here together, we can be as effective as possible. But as we look to God's Word, we want to address feeding on the Word of God. Our text this morning is found in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. It is a passage that all who are members of the body of Christ should know. It is one that we have read and studied on many occasions, and of course perhaps has even been the topic or the subject text for many sermons. And as we read 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, it reads, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." You know, we're all aware of the need to eat. In fact, I suspect that following this sermon, following this service today, that many of us will have as our top priority after the closing of the services today, getting something to eat. It perhaps is something that is inborn within us. Shortly after a child is born, it is not often that they have to be encouraged to eat. I've heard many newborn mothers say that the child seems to want to eat all the time. I know daddies sort of get off the responsibility track there just a little bit when the mamas get up at 2 in the morning to feed the babies or whatever the case may be. And sometimes the babies want to eat at the most inconvenient times. But the child needs nourishment. The child needs food, just as the Christian needs nourishment. It is only after the child has developed taste for certain foods and they can communicate those tastes is when the problems begin. There's often times when the baby is being fed and the spoon being lifted to its mouth that it learns that put a hand up or cover its face or turn its head away means I don't like strained prunes or whatever the food is that you're pushing into their face. When they begin to communicate these tests, the problem began. And not every food is palatable as every other types of food. There are things even today that I despise because I was made to eat them as a child. If indeed we were to have a fellowship meal and you were to bring English peas, if there's a mark in the bowl where a spoon has been dipped into it, it's not mine. Liver. That's another thing. It's not desirable for me. It is not palatable to me. Avocado. I'm not opposed to avocado, but anytime there's any food and somebody says, "Would you like that with guacamole or with not? Without?" It's always without. Food is important. It is required for the body. And there are some foods, while tasty, if eaten in the improper quantities or if the diet consists of only one type of food alone, health difficulties will come about. For instance, if all the child will eat is chicken nuggets and french fries. No, there's no danger of the child turning into a chicken, but or a french fry for that matter, but their body needs a variety of things. Christians begin their spiritual life as babies. We saw this in John chapter 3 and verse 5. Nicodemus was going to Jesus. He came to him at night, and as he came to him at night, he had an important reason for doing so. Acknowledge the fact, first and foremost, that Jesus Christ was a man from God, for no man can do these things that thou doest except God be with him. And then as the discussion continued, Jesus said in verse 5, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Now this, obviously, confused Nicodemus relative to birth. From that point backwards, nothing has ever been said about the new birth. Nothing was ever discussed about it under the law of that God had given to Moses. There was nothing that John taught about it except for the coming of the kingdom. And so Nicodemus was obviously confused, even to the point of asking the question, how can a man be born when he's old? You can't go through that process again. Why? Because when a child is born, he's very small. And he comes forth as God intended. But also as God intended, that child is required to take in nutrients to sustain life and to promote cell growth, and so that body can grow and begin to function and mature. The same thing is true with Christians. Christians, just like babies, human physical babies, animal babies, are to have appetites. However, when it comes to the Word of God, there should be no likes or dislikes. I once had someone say, "Well, I don't particularly like that scripture." Why? It is the Word of God. It is something that we are to feed upon. Is everything that is in the Word of God of the same, on the same level, or can be easily understood? No. It is even said about some of the sayings of Paul that some of his sayings were hard. Jesus had some hard sayings in John chapter 6, and some of his disciples said, "No, I'm not going to feed on this anymore." Now, they went away. All of God's Word is good, and we're not to develop aversions to any of it. We may not very well understand all of it, but we can look, we can learn, we can develop a taste for it. Several years ago, my wife decided that it would probably be good if we ate cottage cheese. I didn't like cottage cheese. Don't ask me why, I have no idea. Maybe it was the way it looked, maybe it was the texture. And finally she got to where I would eat cottage cheese if it was on peaches. Now I like cottage cheese. What happened? I developed a taste for it. Why? Because first and foremost, I tasted it. I partook of it. I put it into my body and I said, it didn't hurt me. It didn't bother me. I didn't have a tummy ache afterwards. And you develop a taste for it. All of the Word of God is beneficial, but it also has to be consumed in the proper quantity. You cannot take the entire Word of God at one time. Oftentimes people say, I decided I was going to read the Bible this year, but I got bogged down. Well, the same thing would happen if you were to eat a year's worth of food in a sitting. You'd get bogged down. You'd get sick. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 tells us the profitability of Scripture, but also why it is profitable. Not only is it profitable, but why it is profitable. And of course, we know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. There is not one word in the Bible that was not inspired of God. And it is profitable for doctrine. That word doctrine there means teaching. It is profitable for teaching. It is designed to teach, to help us to grow. Just like our text says, as newborn babies desire the sincere milk of the word. You begin with the milk and then you work up to the meat, and we'll talk about that in just a second. But it's also profitable for reproof. In other words, to bring you back into line when you're out of line. When you read it and you study it, you learn, and then you have correction for instruction in righteousness. Why? This is the reason that it is profitable, that the man of God may be perfect or whole or complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. There are Christians that are not thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Why? Because they shove their plate away. Because they don't eat. And I'm not talking about the dinner table. I'm talking about sitting and studying and reading and learning and asking questions and participating in classes. Why? We're to be fully nourished spiritually. There are some anorexic Christians in this world today. Now, I know that anorexia is a real problem and there's mental aspects to it and all that sort of thing, but think about it. When it comes to the spiritual food that we're to put into our minds, there are some people that are starving to death. Why? Because they won't eat. They will not feed on the Word of God. What is the Word of God for? Why did God give it to us? Acts chapter 20 and verse 32 informs us that the Word of God is there to build us up spiritually, just like physical food nourishes our fleshly bodies. I sometimes like to kid, I think it started with young nieces and nephews, or maybe I heard it from my uncles or that sort of thing, or maybe I heard my uncle say it to my sisters. They would say to the young girls who didn't like to eat, well, you'll never grow up to be a big, strong man like me if you don't eat. Well, these girls are not going to grow up to be a big, strong man like the men. But all are to grow up. All are to be nourished. And Christians are to be built up spiritually. Do we want to be spiritually the runt? The one who will not eat? The one who will not take in that nourishment? And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. How are we commended to God? Through the word of his grace. What is it able to do? It is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. The word sanctified means set apart. Those who are set apart by what? By the word. What does the word do? It builds you up and provides you an inheritance. You got to look at the whole scripture. If you're not built up by the word, forget the inheritance. God's not just going to say, well, you know, I know you were busy. Now, let's look to Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. We can see that spiritually we are to grow, we are to develop, so we can also help others in their growth process. Stop and think. Do we all grow physically at the same rate? There's a couple of young people here that when I found out how old they were, I was surprised. Because they're all grown up. Y'all can just nod. I think 14 or 15. When I met them, I thought, man, these kids are ready to go to college. No. They like to eat, don't they, Mom?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Spiritually, do we like to eat? Do we want to grow? Do we want to prosper? Hey, here's a question for you. Do you want an inheritance? Then feed on the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. We are to grow and develop so we can help others. Everybody needs help. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. What happened? They tasted of the good word of God. They became children of God, but they didn't remain nourished. You're becoming such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Why? For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now verse 14 tells us who strong meat is set aside for. Strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Those are the ones who are nourished by the Word of God, who've been feeding on the Word of God, who are seeking and striving to maintain that inheritance among God's people. But how do we do this? How do we feed on the Word of God? There's a number of different ways, but one of the ways is to come together to hear the Word of God. We know when this happens. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. It's pointed out very clearly the things that they came together to do, the things that were done there. Not everything, not the order of service. I've noticed in some places they will have a couple of songs and then they'll have the Lord's Supper And then they will have a couple more songs, then they'll have a sermon such as we do here, then an invitation. Other times they'll have the Lord's Supper at the conclusion of the sermon. It doesn't matter. That order of that does not matter. What does matter is that there are certain things that take place and certain times they take place. Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, and people have said, oh yeah, that's when Paul broke bread unto them. No. He did. The bread of life, or the word. But they came together to break bread, to participate in the remembrance of the body and the blood of the Lord, the emblems that were set before. And while there, Paul preached unto them. Now, Paul was the one ready to depart on the morrow. And oftentimes, and I've even commented that we don't need to necessarily preach till midnight. The reason that he did is because he had a place to go. And they wanted to hear the word of God. They wanted to feed upon the word of God. But when? Upon the first day of the week. What did they do? They came together. Why? To break bread. And to feed on the word of God. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 33, we have a situation. Immediately therefore I sent to thee. Why? Well, he was told to. And thou hast well done that thou art come. He's Cornelius speaking to Peter. Now therefore we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. What do we have here? We have a group of people that are hungry for the truth. Do we have that oftentimes when the church comes together? Are we hungry for the truth? Have we gathered to hear the word of God? We should be. And we should gather. And we should hear the word of God. Oh, if it could just be as it was in Acts chapter 13 and verse 44. In that particular verse, we see that it was on the Sabbath day. We know that the church had not been in operation very long. They were still going to the people wherever the people were and whenever the people gathered. And it said the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. Why? They needed to feed on the word of God. They wanted to hear it. They were excited about hearing it. They needed to be fed. Also, we have an example in Acts chapter 16, verses 12 through 13, about those who came together to hear the word of God. Not necessarily in an organized church service, if you will. You can teach the word of God around a kitchen table. And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out to the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down, listened, and spoke unto the women which resorted thither. There were people that came together, and they would come together for prayer. And they went to them, and they preached the gospel. We know that, of course, because of that, some people fed upon the word of God, were nourished, and were told what to do to become children of God, and they became the church in that location. Acts chapter 2 and verse 14 shows that when Peter and the 11 spoke to the folks at Pentecost, little did they know that the events of that day were designed by God so that the people would be gathered together to hear the word of God. Why? Because those people needed to feed on the word. The situation exists where, just as the prophets foretold, that in Jerusalem this was going to take place. It could not take place until that which Jesus spoke of to his disciples happened. They were to go into Jerusalem and tarry there until they would receive power from on high. And when they received power from on high, they also received the word. And in verse 14, Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "You men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words." What words? The word of God. It wasn't Peter speaking alone. It was Peter and the 11. And what were they speaking? They were speaking the words that were given to them that very moment, that very time. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, we're told of the effect of the word of the gospel and what it had upon the hearts of those people. Those people with honest hearts. Those people that were willing to take in the word of God. Then they were told in verse 38 what to do and why. What was the effect? Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and all the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" We realize and understand that we have crucified the Son of God, this Messiah that was prophesied down through the ages. Perhaps we got some misinformation. Why did they get misinformation? Because they didn't continue to feed on the Word of God. Had they followed the law of Moses and read the law of Moses and studied the law of Moses and not depended upon the priests and the chief of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and whoever wanted to change the message, well, maybe they would have understood. But Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And of course, we know that the gift of the Holy Ghost is the promise of eternal life. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, the Ephesians elders were told to feed the flock. Now, I ask you a question. How can this be possible unless the flock comes together? A lot of times people want to blame the preacher. They want to blame maybe the elders. So we're not being fed. Well, it's not my fault if you don't come to the table. It's not the preacher's fault. It's not the elder's fault. It's not anybody's fault, but the individual. The elders were told to feed the flock. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to over all, or to the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. To do what? To feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. And what about if the flock is scattered and not gathered together? Can't very well feed them, can you? Now, one way of feeding or partaking is listening to the Word of God. You know, a lot of congregations now have gone to live stream. They live stream their service. It kind of reminds me of the commercial about a man saying, you know, you can buy a car in your underwear. And he's sitting there and he's on a computer buying a car. Well, people are sitting at home in their pajamas saying, well, I'm listening to the Word of God. I don't think that's as effective. Where's the fellowship? Where's the commitment to God? What are we doing? There were those that wanted to hear the Word of God. Listen to the Word of God. Acts chapter 13 and verse 7. He was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, who was a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul. Why did he call for them? To desire to hear the Word of God. What did he want? He wanted to be able to feed on that which God had promised. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, we see, for this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the Word of God, which effectively worketh also in you that believe. When you partake of it, when you are nourished by it, when you are built up by it, when you are strengthened by it, it will effectively work in you. Same thing with the nourishment in our physical food. But we also must examine what is being taught. Many people are very cognizant of the various things that are put in foods, especially if they don't know who made it or whatever the case may be. They'll say, what's in this? We go to a place and we eat and we say, well, there's no, what is it, GMOs? Genetically modified organisms? That sounds nasty. Or, you know, various things. But we've got to examine what is being taught. The same thing is true with the Word of God. We've got to examine our physical food. You know, we don't go to a place where there's hair everywhere and trash on the floor and say, you know, just spoon me up a plate of food, I'm good. Some people do. I don't like eating a trough myself. That's reserved for swine, pigs. But we've got to examine even our spiritual food. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, perhaps one of the most familiar passages relative to this point. Those in Berea, were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why? They received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily. What were they saying? Basically, by their action, they were saying one meal is not enough. One meal is not enough. One time to hear this Word of God is not enough, because we didn't catch it all. And I know a lot of times, and I really do appreciate, I'll call out a scripture and people will jot it down. Sometimes they say they have to do it because I have 20 or so scriptures in a sermon and I go through it. You hit them too fast. If I slow down, then the clock keeps running and we're late. And guess what? Your physical food has to wait because I'm not finishing until I finish. Now, what do? We examine what is being taught. What did they do? They searched the scriptures. How often? Every Sunday. Nope, that's not what it says. Daily. Whether those things were so. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Going to go through these very quickly. So we jot them down. So we get them. What does the Apostle Paul directed to tell the Thessalonian brethren? Prove all things. How do you prove it? Well, you check it out. You examine it. Then it says, hold fast that which is good. What is the proof that I participate in partaking of copious amounts of food? Because I have ample flesh on my bones. What is the evidence that one partakes of the scripture properly, that looks into it, that studies it, that feeds upon it? Spiritually, they will be fleshed out. They will be full. In Titus chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, we see that we are to ensure what is being taught is correct, to ensure that the folks are not deceived by false teachers who are guiding souls to destruction. There are people out there who do not care for your souls. All they want is your body in attendance and your wallet. They want to boast all these great numbers. They want to make sure that the budget is met. What are we supposed to be about? Titus was told, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught. Why? That he may be able by sound doctrine to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Why? Verse 10, for there are many unrulers and ruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, and who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. You know, if we don't examine what's being taught, how are we to know if those hearing are being fed spiritually as they should be? To properly be fed, we must also apply the Word of God to our lives. It's not just enough to have it before us. Look at James chapter 1, verse 25. I'm going to read just verse 22 through 25. I'm going to read just verse 22 to begin with. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You know, we could have before us physically all the delicacies a master chef could dream up. Yet, if we refuse to partake of it, if we refuse to eat it, we don't like it or it doesn't look good or whatever the case may be, and if there's no other food available to us, we will not receive any nourishment. We're going to begin to starve. The same thing applies to the spiritual food that God has provided for us. And it tells us the fallacy of just being a hearer of the word and not a doer. For if any man be a hearer of the word, I'm in James chapter 1 and verse 23. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Ah, but look at this. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. Now, if you underline in your Bible, underline this next phrase. And continueth therein. Continueth what? Continue to look. Where? Into the perfect law of liberty. What does that mean? That means to read, to study, to do the things that are found in the Word of God. Being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. We all want to be nourished physically when we eat, do we not? Absolutely. That's why we eat what we eat. Do we not want to be nourished spiritually? Do we not want to become stronger spiritually? I think part of the problem is that we can't see the spirit or the soul. But we can see the body that the soul's in. And I'll guarantee you, you can't separate the two until death. So whatever the soul is being fed, it's going to affect the body as well. The actions, the things that the body's participating in. That's why in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, the things that we are to do and the things that we are to participate in, whether in word or deed, are to be in the name of or by the authority of Jesus Christ. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name or by the authority of the Lord Jesus. What does that mean? Oftentimes when people conclude their prayers to say, in Jesus' name we pray. I've heard it from people who are not religious people. They've asked in a civic situation, would you please lead the prayer? Oh, of course I will. And they'll pray, and sometimes they'll say, in your name. Sometimes they pray to Jesus. Sometimes they pray to whoever. But oftentimes, people will get it somewhat right. Not that they have the privilege or right of prayer, but then they will say, in Jesus' name. And what does that mean? To them, it means that's how somebody taught them how to pray. But what it really means is by the authority. And while we do this, we ought to give thanks to God and the Father by Him. But who's to do the feeding? You know, it's interesting to me. People oftentimes worry about other people, like maybe they're by themselves. There was once a man who was married. Wife made sure that he was well fed. Through an unfortunate event, the wife died. People began to worry about the man. Oh, he's just going to waste away. He wasn't very big to begin with. He's not going to be able to eat. His wife has been gone now for 12 or 14 years. He's still alive. You know why? He fed himself. Oh, there might have been some people from the congregation bringing food over, but how long does that last? Not very. So what did he do? He fed himself. Now let's apply that spiritually. Are we going to feed ourselves daily? That's entirely up to us. Who is to feed? Yes, it is the responsibility of the preacher, the elders, but it's also the responsibility of all Christians to feed on and teach the Word of God so that others can be properly fed. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 1, speaking of the elders, Peter was an elder. The Spirit directed him to write this: the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Do what? Feed the flock of God which is among you. Of course, the elders are over a specific body, a single body, a gathering of Christians in a particular location. But they are to feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. What were they to do? Feed the flock. What do you feed them? You feed them the word. The preachers are also to do this. And this also applies to all Christians. Oftentimes this is read 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. And it's applied just to the preachers. I want to submit this morning that every person that is here that is a child of God is also a teacher and a preacher. You say, well, how can that be? I'm a woman. No, I don't mean that you're a pulpit minister or an evangelist that will get up publicly and teach and preach. But all Christians are to preach the Word of God. They do so by their life, by their example, by their encouragement to others. In 2 Timothy 4, beginning in verse 2, preach the Word. First and foremost, it tells us what to preach: the Word of God. Why? Because that's what the soul needs to feed on. Secondly, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Be instant in season, out of season. What does that mean? That means preach when it's convenient, preach when it's not convenient. Preach when they tell you you can't preach. Oh, isn't that what the apostles told them? Whether you ought to obey men, that's up to you. We ought to obey God rather than men. What did God say to do? He said, preach. They said, okay. Slap them around a little bit and said, no, go your way, but don't go preach anymore. What did they do? Went right straight to the temple. Anybody want to hear? Got the word for you. Ready for them to partake, to feed. Now, why are we to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine? Oftentimes people say, oh boy, you stepped all over my toes. I once knew of a preacher one time that reported that a woman came to him and said to him, "You stepped on my toes today." He says, "Well, you shouldn't have had them out there." That's the wrong answer. Somebody one time said, "Boy, you preached right at me today." And I said, "Thank you. I'm glad somebody needed it. I'm glad I served up something that you could eat." Why? "For the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine." What does that mean? They don't want to feed on that. They want chicken tenders and french fries. "The time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine." Somebody has oftentimes said about some preacher, "Boy, he is too direct." Sometimes it's a style issue. Sometimes people only know how to deliver it directly, but it should be delivered directly. Why? Because the indirect method doesn't always work. But this is why. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." You can ask the men here. I have said publicly, and I've said it, I think, from the pulpit, that a church will find the kind of preacher they want. Have I not said it, Rick? Why? Because they'll heap to themselves teachers. Sometimes because they have itching ears. But if they want somebody that's going to preach the truth, they'll find somebody that's going to preach the truth. And verse 4 says, "Those that have itching ears, those that after their own lust heap to themselves teachers, they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables." You know, kids don't like broccoli, spinach, English peas. Some people don't like the truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26. Additional evidence that the preacher, the elders, and all Christians are to feed on and teach the word of God. "And the servant of the Lord." Who's that? That is every Christian. The servant of the Lord. If you are don't want to be called a servant of the Lord, then there's a problem. "But the servant of the Lord should not strive, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach." Oftentimes that's only applied to the elders, isn't it? Oh, the elders have to be apt to teach. Christians have to be apt to teach so that people can feed on that word of God. They're also to be patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. This is important. Notice that phrase, "and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil." I've actually heard people say, denominational people, "Well, we saved another one today." No, you didn't. You can't save anybody. The word of God can save someone. But that someone has to desire to take it in, to be obedient to it, and then to continue to take it in, and to be strengthened, and to be built up, and to grow thereby. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." A funny thing about the word of God is that when the trumpet sounds, the same word that is being preached when the trumpet sounds should be the exact same word that was preached in the first century. People say, "Well, it's a different situation. That they had the Spirit." We got the Spirit. We have it in a different format. We have the written word of God here available to us to guide us into all truth. We've got to be able to teach that word so people can feed. You know, there are millions starving to death this day spiritually. All we can do is not be one of them. Let us not starve to death. The word of God is available. I think I said this morning, relative to a definition, there's an app for that. It's amazing to me how many people have the Bible on their phones and rarely, if ever, look at them. But if there's a, I don't know what the games are nowadays. Candy Crush, is that one of them? I don't know. I don't play them. But if it's one of those apps on the phone, it's used a lot. We've got to make sure that people partake of the Word of God. There are capable and willing and dedicated folks that can help you to be fed with the Word of God. I'll guarantee you that you cannot leave here today and say that you've not had a plate full of the gospel. But now, I want to offer you some dessert. Though it's still the gospel. It's the sweet truth that if obeyed, will save your soul. The wonderful words of life. In James chapter 1 and verse 22, we find James being directed by the Spirit to write, but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We've discussed that today. In other words, you have to hear the word of God. Secondly, you must believe it. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. By the way, if one doesn't hear, they can't believe. And if they don't believe, they're not going to have faith. And if you don't have faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. One must also repent. Turn away from a life of sin. Turn toward God. In Acts 17:30, in the times of this ignorance, God winked at. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. From the time that statement was made, or even before that, God had commanded that all men repent, all turn away from a life of sin or other laws or whatever the case may be, and turn to God, follow him, follow his word. Part of that is confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You know, with the Jews in the first century, a lot of times that was difficult. They'd been taught for so many years that, oh no, this is not the Messiah. He's not the king. Look, he was born in a stable. He's poor. Jesus said in Matthew 10:32-33, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Friends, if you do not obey him, you are denying him. And one must be baptized. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 48, I love the way this particular statement is made. And he commanded them. It's not optional. It's an order. He commanded them to be baptized in the name or by the authority of the Lord. Notice how these people received it. They prayed him to tarry certain days. They wanted more. And then we are to remain faithful unto death. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. For if after these have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. Who are these people? These are the people that have been fed by the gospel. Those who had obeyed the gospel. Those who perhaps even for a little time had been faithful, depended upon the word of God for that spiritual nourishment that all men need. And then pushed away the plate. They forsook. They were entangled again in the world and the things thereof. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning. So for a person to become a child of God, they must hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, and remain faithful unto death. They become a child of God, they must remain faithful to retain that relationship, to continue to be nourished by the word of God. But if you're a Christian and you're here today and you've allowed sin to enter into your life and in so doing separate between you and God, and if sin has come into your life and you've not repented of it, yes, you are separated from God. You need to address that right now through repentance and prayer. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. We're going to sing the song, Wonderful Words of Life, the first and second verses. These are the best words of life, the nourishing words of life. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we offer you the opportunity to respond as together we stand and sing.